All right, let's jump right in. We're taking a deep dive into the book of Joshua today.
Sounds good.
And, you know, we have these really interesting lectures by Dr. David Howard. You provided them to us.
All right.
A seasoned Old Testament scholar. And I'm really excited about this because, you know, everyone thinks of Joshua, Jericho, battles, you know, the whole thing. But we're going to be going way beyond that.
That's right.
And really going to kind of unpack some of the mysteries surrounding this book.
Yeah.
You know, like who wrote it,
exactly,
how it fits within the historical landscape of ancient civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
So much more than just, you know,
right,
battles and walls falling down and all that.
Yeah, it's so much bigger than just the battles.
Right, exactly. Right. It really is.
So, yeah, I think Dr. Howard brings a really unique perspective to this.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, it's easy to get caught up in that whole image of him as a warrior.
Yeah.
But his lectures really highlight how the book of Joshua really emphasizes God's actions.
Yes. And the fulfillment of his promises.
It's about God.
And it's really about his story.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's funny because it's like we all have that song in our head, right?
Oh.
Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho.
Oh, absolutely.
So it really does capture that warrior image.
That's right.
But Dr. Howard suggests that those battles are really only a piece of a much larger story.
It's a small part of the whole book.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He really argues that the heart of it is about the land of Canaan.
Yes.
As a divine gift and inheritance for the Israelites.
That's really the focus, I think.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
So to the Israelites, the promised land was so much more than just land.
Oh, absolutely.
Could you elaborate a bit more on that?
I mean, it was the culmination of a centuries-long journey.
Yeah.
A promise passed down through generations.
Wow.
That really represented their identity, their future, and God's faithfulness to them.
So it's really tied in with their identity as a people. It's not just like
it's who they are.
A place to live.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it, they're leaving this life of slavery and hardship.
Right.
And they're promised this land flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah.
It's this powerful symbol of hope and divine blessing.
Yeah, that's powerful imagery, right?
Yes, it is.
I mean, milk and honey, that's...
That's pretty great.
Like, the best.
Yeah,
right?
That's the best.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so this definitely adds a whole new layer of meaning to the narrative, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it really does.
It does.
But, you know, we can't overlook some of the more challenging aspects of the book either.
Yeah, that's true.
Dr. Howard addresses this, you know, head on, especially the destruction of the Canaanites.
Yeah.
And, you know, it naturally raises questions, especially in today's world.
Right, right.
So how does he approach this sensitive topic?
Well, he acknowledges the moral complexities
right.
and the questions that this raises for us as modern readers.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't shy away from the violence that's depicted in the text, but he encourages us to remember the brutality of ancient warfare.
Okay.
And, you know, the prevalence of the whole holy war concept
right.
in the ancient world.
Right. Yeah, it was a different time.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
It's a difficult concept to grasp.
It is, yeah.
From our modern perspective.
Uh-huh.
But it was a reality of that time.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are your initial thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely challenging to reconcile those ancient practices with, you know, our contemporary understanding of ethics and warfare.
Right.
So it seems like we need to be really careful not to impose our modern values onto an ancient text.
I think that's right.
But at the same time, we can't just ignore the ethical questions it raises either.
Yeah, we have to wrestle with them.
So it's about finding that balance.
Exactly.
Now, let's dive into one of those really intriguing mysteries that Dr. Howard brings up.
Okay.
The authorship of the book itself.
Yes.
We don't actually know for sure who wrote it.
That's right.
It's anonymous.
It's a mystery.
It is a mystery. It's kind of like we're about to embark on a historical detective mission.
I like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So this has sparked a lot of debate among scholars.
Oh, absolutely.
What are some of the prevailing theories that Dr. Howard outlines?
So there are a few.
Okay.
Some attributed to Joshua himself.
Okay.
You know, based on rabbinic traditions.
Okay.
While others propose later editions or even another prophet like Samuel.
Oh, wow.
It's really fascinating to consider.
It is. Yeah.
The different possibilities and what they might reveal about the book's purpose and message.
Yeah, so many possibilities.
Right.
So one thing that I was particularly struck by when I was going through the material were those until this day phrases
oh, yeah.
that are scattered throughout the text.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They make me think that someone was writing after the events,
right.
looking back and reflecting on their significance.
Like a later author.
Yeah, kind of like
a,
hey, this happened and it's still relevant today,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, those phrases definitely add another layer of intrigue.
Yeah, they do.
They suggest a later author.
Okay.
Someone removed from the events themselves.
Mm-hmm.
However, Dr. Howard proposes that the anonymity of the book might be intentional.
Interesting.
Perhaps the focus is meant to be on the message itself.
Okay.
Not the messenger.
Okay, so kind of shifting the focus.
Exactly.
From the human author to the divine message.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a thought-provoking perspective.
It is.
Now, speaking of timelines,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Howard highlights the importance of understanding the Exodus timeline
right.
for dating the events in Joshua.
Yeah.
So what are the different perspectives on this?
Well, the dating of the Exodus is a point of ongoing debate. You have the traditional view based on 1 Kings 6.1,
mm-hmm.
which places the Exodus around 1446 BC.
Okay.
And then you have the later date.
Okay.
Around 1200 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Which some scholars favor based on archaeological evidence.
So two very different
yeah.
time periods.
Two very different.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you find intriguing about this from what you've learned?
Well, I was particularly intrigued by those archaeological discoveries mm-hmm. that led to the questioning of okay. the traditional timeline.
Yes.
Can you kind of unpack that a bit?
Yeah. So around 1200 BC.
Okay.
There's evidence of this widespread destruction across the eastern Mediterranean,
mm-hmm.
almost like a civilization-wide collapse.
Wow.
So this naturally raises the question,
yeah.
could this be connected to the Israelite conquest described in Joshua?
It's like a real-life historical mystery.
It is. It really is.
Wow. So they found evidence that potentially, like, cities were destroyed or...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's a puzzle that scholars are still trying to piece together.
They are, yeah.
Wow, that's quite a finite, right?
It is.
And that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But Dr. Howard seems to favor the earlier date.
He does, right.
What are his arguments for that?
He finds the biblical reference in 1 Kings
okay.
to be quite precise
okay.
and argues for a specific date.
Mm-hmm.
He also points out that regardless of which date you choose,
yeah.
you're faced with the challenge of condensing the timelines of the judges.
Right.
So you're creating some chronological dilemmas.
Yeah. Either way, you got to figure it out.
I got to figure it out.
Make some tough choices.
Yeah.
So there's still much debate and scholarly juggling involved.
There is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of visual aids,
okay.
Dr. Howard introduced this really fascinating map, and he refers to it as a 3,000-year historical tapestry.
Yeah, it is.
So what makes this map so special?
Well, imagine a map that shows... not just geographical locations,
mm-hmm.
but layers upon layers of history.
Oh, wow.
It shows empires rising and falling,
mm-hmm.
kingdoms interacting,
okay.
and the movement of people across time.
Wow.
So Dr. Howard uses this map to bring the world of Joshua to life.
Yeah, so it's not just a static map.
No, it's dynamic.
It's showing change over time.
Right. He pinpoints key locations like the Hittite Empire,
okay.
the kingdoms of Aram,
mm-hmm.
Ammon, Moab, and Edom.
Yeah.
And traces the paths of both Abraham's migration.
Okay.
And the Israelites' journey from Egypt to Canaan.
So it's really showing how the Israelites fit within this
absolutely
larger historical context, right?
Uh-huh.
Wow, that really helps you visualize the complexity of that historical landscape, doesn't
it? Really does.
I mean, it's one thing to read about these kingdoms and empires,
mm-hmm.
but it's another thing entirely to see them all laid out on a map
right.
and understand their proximity to one another and yeah. the routes the Israelites took.
It really gives you a sense of place.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So understanding this geographical context
yeah.
is essential for grasping the complexities of the events in Joshua.
Absolutely.
Lee.
It is.
All right. So we've covered so much ground already.
Yeah, right.
In this first part of our deep dive.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. It's yeah. already challenged some of my assumptions about the book of Joshua and opened up a lot of new avenues of thought.
It's fascinating.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, one thing that's really striking me
okay.
is this idea that the promised land represented so much more than just physical territory to the Israelites.
Okay.
You know, it was a symbol of their covenant with God.
Mm-hmm.
Their identity as a people.
Okay.
And their hope for a future free from slavery.
Yeah, it's a really powerful concept.
It is.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you think about what your own promised land might be.
What are your hopes and aspirations?
Yeah, that's a powerful takeaway.
It is.
So as we move forward in our exploration, I'm really curious to see how these themes of identity, hope, and divine promise continue to unfold in the book of Joshua.
Yeah.
So we'll continue our journey in the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
Delving further into the events and challenges that shaped this pivotal period in biblical history.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the book of Joshua. We've been uncovering some fascinating insights from Dr. Howard's lectures.
We have.
I'm eager to continue our exploration, especially after that glimpse into that historical landscape he provided.
Oh, yeah.
With that incredible map.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that 3,000-year historical tapestry.
Yeah.
It really highlights the complexity of the world Joshua navigated.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes you realize
Yeah.
that the Israelites weren't just entering some peaceful paradise.
Oh, no, it was a crowded stage.
They were stepping onto a stage already crowded with actors, each with their own agendas and ambitions.
I remember they had a divine mandate to conquer and settle this land.
And that brings us back to that challenging question we touched upon earlier.
Yes.
The destruction of the Canaanites. So how does Dr. Howard approach this sensitive topic?
Well, he acknowledges the moral complexities. And the questions this raises for modern readers.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't shy away from the violence depicted in the text.
Right.
But he encourages us to remember the brutality of ancient warfare.
Right. It was a different time.
Yeah. And the prevalence of the whole holy war concept in the ancient world.
Right.
You know, that the difficult concept to grasp from our modern perspective.
It is.
But it was a reality of that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your initial thoughts on this?
You know, it's definitely challenging to reconcile those ancient practices with our contemporary understanding of ethics and warfare.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems like we need to be really careful not to impose our modern values onto an ancient text.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the same time, we can't just ignore the ethical questions it raises.
You can't just sweep it under the rug.
No. No, we can't.
We got to wrestle with them.
We have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's about finding that balance.
It is about finding that balance.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of journeys, let's kind of retrace the steps that led the Israelites to this point.
Okay.
It's easy to forget that their story begins with centuries of slavery in Egypt.
That's right.
Dr. Howard reminds us of their miraculous exodus, the parting of the Red Sea, and their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness.
Right.
All of that really shaped their identity as a people.
It did.
It's during those wilderness years that they received the law at Mount Sinai, solidifying their understanding of their covenant with God, their laws, their rituals, their purpose.
It's their foundation.
It's their foundation.
Yeah.
By the time they reach Canaan, they're no longer just a group of escaped slaves.
Right.
They're a nation.
Yeah.
Forged in the crucible of hardship, bound by a shared history, a shared faith, and a divine mission.
That's right.
It's like they had to go through a period of refinement, of testing, before they were ready to enter the promised land.
Right.
Yeah, and this makes me think about something Dr. Howard said about Joshua himself.
Yeah.
How he grew into the role of leadership.
Oh, yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Dr. Howard points out an interesting detail.
Okay.
The title, Servant of the Lord, which is repeatedly used for Moses, is not given to Joshua until the very end of the book.
Really?
After his death.
Okay.
It's as if he had to earn that title.
Oh, wow.
To prove himself worthy of the mantle of leadership.
So it wasn't just handed to him.
No.
He had to go through a process of growth and development.
It's a process.
It's a more humanizing perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It shows that even biblical heroes faced challenges, had to overcome obstacles.
They're human.
Went through their own journeys of faith.
Yeah, they're not perfect.
Yeah.
They're just like us.
Yeah. And it challenges our assumptions about leadership, too.
Right.
We often put leaders on a pedestal.
Yes, we do.
Expecting them to have it all figured out.
Have all the answers.
But maybe true leadership is about recognizing our own limitations and relying on a higher power for guidance and strength.
That's a profound insight.
It's really interesting. Yeah. Joshua's story reminds us that leadership is not about wielding power or commanding obedience.
It's not about ego.
It's about humility, dependence on God, and a willingness to grow and learn along the way.
It's about serving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to circle back to those intriguing "until this day" phrases we discussed earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you share some specific examples and what they might reveal about the book's composition and purpose?
There are several instances of these phrases throughout the book.
Yep.
For example, there's the one about Rahab, the Canaanite woman who helped the Israelite spies.
Yeah.
The text says she lived in Jericho until this day.
Okay.
And then there's the reference to the stones that Joshua set up at Gilgal.
Right.
A memorial to the crossing of the Jordan River.
Yeah.
It states that they remain there until this day.
Okay, so it's almost as if the author is intentionally creating these little time capsules.
Yes.
Preserving the memory of these events and their significance for future generations.
Exactly.
They offer a glimpse into the lasting impact of these historical moments.
Right.
Yeah.
They invite us to consider how these events continue to shape the lives and beliefs of the Israelites long after they occurred.
Yeah, it speaks to the enduring legacy of history and how it shapes our understanding of ourselves and our faith.
That's right.
So we have this anonymous author potentially writing sometime after Joshua's death.
Right.
Reflecting back on these pivotal events.
Yeah.
Why? What does Dr. Howard say about the purpose of the book? Why was it written?
Well, Dr. Howard highlights several key themes that run throughout the book.
Okay.
One is the faithfulness of God.
Okay.
He argues that the book is ultimately a testament to God's fulfillment of his promises to Abraham and his descendants.
So it's not just a historical account.
No.
It's a theological statement.
Yes. Demonstrating how God's plan unfolds through history.
Wow. So it's a story of divine providence and faithfulness, even when his people stumble and disobey.
Yeah. God's plans are bigger than our mistakes.
Right.
He can work through our imperfections to accomplish his purposes.
It's a good reminder for all of us.
Yeah.
Another theme Dr. Howard emphasizes is the importance of obedience.
Yes.
Right? The Israelites' success in conquering the promised land is directly linked to their willingness to follow God's commands.
That's right.
When they obey, they prosper.
Mm-hmm. When they disobey,
they struggle.
They suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lesson about the consequences of our choices.
Yes.
Both good and bad.
Uh-huh.
It highlights the importance of aligning our will with God's will, trusting in his guidance, and following his path.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
It does. It makes me think about areas in my own life where I might be resisting God's leading or clinging to my own plans instead of surrendering to his.
That's a powerful connection to make.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. The book of Joshua encourages us to examine our own lives and consider where we might need to realign ourselves with God's will.
Yeah.
And speaking of alignment, another key theme Dr. Howard explores is leadership.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about Joshua's own journey of leadership development, but what broader lessons about leadership does the book offer?
Well, what struck me about Dr. Howard's analysis is the emphasis on courageous leadership, especially in the face of adversity.
Joshua had to make tough decisions.
Right.
Face formidable enemies.
He was up against a lot.
Yeah, he was. And rally his people to achieve a common goal.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy task.
He loved it.
But he rose to the occasion.
He did.
Relying on God's strength to guide him.
Yeah. And Dr. Howard points out that true leadership isn't about human power or charisma.
It's not about ego.
No.
Yeah.
It's about humility, dependence on God, and a willingness to serve others.
Yeah, put the needs of the people above your own.
Right.
And lead with integrity and compassion.
So what resonates with you about this idea of leadership?
I think the emphasis on humility really stands out to me.
Yeah, humility is key.
Yeah, we often think of leaders as being strong and decisive.
Right.
But true strength lies in recognizing our own weaknesses and relying on a higher power for guidance.
And being willing to admit when we don't have all the answers.
Yes.
And seeking wisdom from others.
Absolutely.
Yeah, these themes of faithfulness, obedience, and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They're so relevant even today.
They are, aren't they?
It's amazing how an ancient text like the book of Joshua can speak so powerfully to our modern lives and challenges.
It's a testament to the timeless wisdom and relevance of the Bible.
Yeah.
It speaks to the core of the human experience.
Yeah.
Our struggles, our hopes, our search for meaning and purpose.
Right. It really does.
Yeah. The book of Joshua in particular offers insights into the nature of faith, leadership, and the complexities of building a just and equitable society.
Yeah.
It's a story that continues to resonate with us today.
He does.
Challenging us to examine our own lives, our beliefs, and our roles in the world.
You know, it feels like we've only just scratched the surface of what the book of Joshua has to offer.
It's a deep book.
It is a deep book. We've covered a lot of ground in this second part of our deep dive.
We have.
Exploring the historical context, the key themes, and the leadership lessons embedded in the narrative.
Yeah.
But there's still so much more to unpack.
There is.
What has resonated with you most deeply so far? What questions are swirling in your mind?
Well, one thing that continues to intrigue me is this idea of the promised land as a symbol of our deepest hopes and aspirations.
Okay.
It makes me wonder, what is your own promised land?
Mm-hmm.
What are those things that represent your deepest longings and the fulfillment of your purpose?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a powerful question to ponder.
It is.
And as we move forward in our exploration, I invite you to keep that question in mind.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon for the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
Where we'll delve even deeper into the narrative,
mm-hmm.
examining specific events,
right.
and grappling with those challenging questions that Dr. Howard raises.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the book of Joshua. We've journeyed through the historical landscape, wrestled with some really challenging questions, and uncovered some, I think, deeper layers of meaning in this ancient text.
It's been quite a journey.
It really has.
Yeah.
So now let's step into the heart of the narrative itself.
Okay.
And explore some of the key events that shaped the Israelite conquest of the Promised Land.
Right.
What stood out to you in Dr. Howard's lectures about this pivotal period?
Well, one thing that struck me was his emphasis on the crossing of the Jordan River.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just a geographical obstacle to overcome,
right,
but like a symbolic threshold,
okay,
a transition from their wilderness wanderings into this new era of conquest and settlement.
It's like stepping through a doorway into the unknown, leaving behind the past, and embracing a new destiny.
A chapter.
And the way they crossed, as described in the book, is nothing short of miraculous.
Pretty amazing.
The river stops flowing,
allowing
them to pass through on dry ground.
Hard to imagine.
What are your thoughts on this event?
Well,
both historically and symbolically.
Historically, there's been much debate about the plausibility of it.
Okay.
Some scholars suggest natural explanations.
Like what?
Like a temporary damming of the river.
Oh, okay.
While others see it as a demonstration of divine power.
Okay, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, two different perspectives.
Yeah, like how do you...
It's hard to say for sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But symbolically, I mean, it definitely reinforces the idea that God is with them, parting the waters, just as he did at the Red Sea during the Exodus.
Oh, that's a parallel.
Yeah, it's a sign of his faithfulness and his power to overcome any obstacle.
Yeah, and it's interesting how these themes of water and crossing over appear throughout the Bible.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like a baptism, a cleansing and a new beginning.
It's a reminder that sometimes we need those Red Sea moments, right? Those experiences that defy explanation and reaffirm our faith.
Those moments where you just know God is at work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, after that miraculous crossing, we come to the Battle of Jericho.
Ah, Jericho.
Which is such an iconic story, right?
Yeah.
It captures the imagination.
Those walls crumbling down.
With those walls crumbling down at the sound of trumpets and shouts.
It's a powerful image.
What insights did Dr. Howard offer about this event?
Well, he highlighted the unconventional tactics.
Okay.
God commands the Israelites to use marching around the city silently for 6 days, then blowing trumpets and shouting on the seventh.
It's not a typical military strategy, is it?
It's definitely not something you'd find in a military textbook.
It almost seems absurd, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Like something out of a dream.
But it worked.
It did work.
Yeah.
But Dr. Howard points out that this unconventional approach underscores a key theme.
Mm-hmm.
Victory comes not through human might or ingenuity.
No, not through our own strength.
But through obedience to God.
That's right.
It's a test of faith, a demonstration that God's ways are not our ways.
It's about surrendering to his will.
Yeah, and trusting that he knows what he's doing.
Even when it doesn't make sense to us.
Even when it seems illogical or even foolish.
Yeah, faith is sometimes about stepping outside of our comfort zone.
Yeah, it's about letting go of our need to control everything.
Right, and trusting that God has a plan.
So the Battle of Jericho
is
a testament to the power of faith.
That's an amazing story.
And the importance of surrendering to God's will, even when we don't understand it.
Absolutely.
It challenges us to examine our own lives and consider where we might be relying too much on our own strength and understanding instead of seeking God's guidance.
That's a good point.
Now, after Jericho, the Israelites continue their conquest.
Yeah.
But it's not always a smooth path to victory.
No, they face setbacks along the way.
They do. And Dr. Howard doesn't shy away from the setbacks they face.
Like the defeated AI.
Yeah. What lessons did you glean from that episode?
Well, it's a stark reminder that disobedience has consequences.
Okay.
Even for God's chosen people.
Right.
Their defeat is attributed to Achan's sin, his violation of God's command regarding the spoils of Jericho.
Yeah, and it highlights the importance of personal accountability and the interconnectedness of the community.
Yeah, one person's sin can have repercussions for the entire group.
It's a sobering thought, isn't it?
It is.
It reminds us that even in the midst of a great mission,
yeah,
we can't compromise our values or ignore the consequences of our actions.
Integrity matters.
It does.
Both individually and collectively.
And we have a responsibility to hold ourselves and each other accountable.
That's right.
So it's not just about avoiding punishment.
No, it's about something deeper.
It's about living in right relationship with God and with each other.
Yeah, living in alignment with his will.
And when we align ourselves with God's will, we experience his blessing and favor.
That's the key.
When we stray from his path, we create disharmony.
And we invite consequences.
Yeah. And we've been talking about these epic battles, moments of divine intervention, lessons about obedience and accountability.
Right.
But ultimately, the goal is to settle the land.
To build a new life.
To establish a new society.
Yeah, a place where they could flourish.
What insights did Dr. Howard offer about this process?
Well, he talked about the complexities of dividing the land among the 12 tribes,
okay,
the challenges of establishing boundaries, and the importance of fairness and justice in the distribution.
Okay, so it wasn't just about conquest.
No, it was about building a society.
And claiming territory.
Yeah, a just and equitable society.
It was about building a society where God's laws would be upheld.
Right.
And his people could flourish.
Yeah, and that's something we're still striving for today.
It makes you think about the challenges we face today, right?
Absolutely.
And creating a just and equitable world.
It's an ongoing process.
It's a continuous process, a journey that requires constant vigilance and commitment to upholding righteous principles.
We can learn a lot from the Israelites' example, both their successes and their failures.
Yeah. What parallels do you see between the Israelites' efforts to build a just society and our own efforts today?
Well, the book of Joshua reminds us that building a just society requires courage, obedience, accountability, and an unwavering commitment to God's principles.
Yeah, it's not an easy task.
It's not. It requires us to confront injustice, to speak truth to power, and to advocate for those who are marginalized and oppressed.
And just as the Israelites faced opposition and challenges, so too will we encounter resistance and setbacks in our pursuit of justice.
It's a constant battle.
It is a battle, but we're not alone in this fight.
No, we're not.
It's a call to action, isn't it?
It is.
It challenges us to be active participants in building a better world, a world that reflects God's values of justice, compassion, and righteousness.
That's the goal.
What has resonated with you most deeply throughout our deep dive into the book of Joshua?
You know, for me, it's been the reminder that God is faithful even when we are not. He can work through our mistakes and our imperfections to accomplish his purposes.
Right.
It's a message of hope and encouragement.
It is.
Especially in a world that often feels chaotic and uncertain.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that we're not alone in this journey.
We're not.
God is with us.
He is.
Guiding us, strengthening us.
Empowering us to live lives that are pleasing to him.
We may not always understand his ways or his timing.
You know.
But we can trust in his faithfulness and his goodness.
And as we continue to explore the scriptures, I encourage you to keep seeking those deeper layers of meaning.
Yeah, those insights that challenge your assumptions and inspire you to live a life of purpose and impact.
The book of Joshua is just one example of the rich treasures that await us in God's word.
Amen to that.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the book of Joshua.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope this exploration has sparked your curiosity, challenged your thinking, and left you with a deeper appreciation for the timeless wisdom and relevance of this ancient text.
It's a powerful book.
It really is.